Yeah, now, stand and cheer for your BBL Weekly.
Welcome back to the Busby Podcast. I am Mark.
I am Paul. What an intro.
Back to the studio. Yes, we're freshening it up in the studio. It's coming up towards the playoffs all around, and we thought, why not get jovial?
Mark, our listeners let us down. We're coming up with a jingle.
Disgraceful.
So, We got creative.
Yeah, especially when the only people that I spoke to this week said, hey, why don't you use this song? No, that's not how a jingle works. Oh, yeah, but this song's quite catchy. No, that's not a jingle. So for all you jinglers, if you haven't done your jingle, grab your jingle, send us your jingle, because we want to hear and see your jingles.
I think it's too late. That is good.
Oh, God.
That is good.
Cemented
that
it
is
in
great.
Already.
That is great.
So BBL Weekly, Paul. It's been a big week.
It has been a news flying everywhere, but you can't start with anything else.
Nope.
Other than to talk about those naughty boys in the Plymouth Patriots. Someone's been naughty.
Yeah.
They've not been looking at their clocks. Their eye watches or whatever watch they use didn't have the right time.
I mean, I've got to say it. If you are... that some things have flown around, and I don't know what the scenario was, but it looks like they missed their flight, and some people are saying they were having breakfast and that's why they missed their flight.
Brilliant. I love that story. But I read it. I was like, look, that's a story that we're going to be talking about. The whole team will be talking about for the next 30, 40 years.
But I just saw a few people inputting like, those breakfasts must be absolutely outstanding. What did they have for breakfast? And then it just goes down this whole train of conversation like, I mean, I've had breakfast where I've forgotten where I've been, and then I've realised I've got to go to work, and you go, it's good. But if you're in the airport, and that was the scenario, and you're eating a breakfast, you're like, why am I at the airport? What reason is it that no one goes to an airport just to eat meal? So, like, why am I here again? That's right, I've got to get
on the
plane.
Yeah, but what about the other people on the team as well? Like, there's got to be someone, like, in the management side of that team went, yeah, where's Tyrell and Jacob? Where are they?
So there's a really, really good meme, and I'm going to give a shout out to British Basketball Memes. Did you see it? It's the Home Alone one.
No.
And he used the Home Alone meme where the two adults are on the plane going, have we forgotten anything?
Oh, brilliant.
and then old Kevin's coming out and they're like, that's perfect. Like, at what point did any of the team think,
yeah,
1-2, because they played their game. I mean, let's go to that game. They played the game.
Well, hang on. Can I just say one thing real quick? For anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, basically the Plymouth Patriots, who are currently bottom of the league, are taking on the Caledonia Gladiators, who are third in the league, fighting for that second spot. This is a huge, huge game. And Plymouth is right down the bottom of the country, right down the west. And... southwest, and they were getting a plane up. In the airport, Tyrell Green and Jacob Wiley supposedly did not get on the plane, and they were having breakfast, and the plane just went without them. That's the story.
Six players. That was it.
But one got injured, so they played with five.
Yeah. You turn up, you're a professional team, and you're going away... And then so Gladiator's like, right, you know, doesn't matter. Just because someone's at the bottom of the league, they could be a bogey team. They could cause you hassle. And Caledonia, Plymouth are out. They're out of the playoffs. They're not going to do anything.
Anyone can have a good day.
Exactly. Every dog has its day. And Caledonia need the win more than anything. And then they turn up with six players. You'd be like, not going to lie, fellas. I'd be quite relaxed here.
Do they get a fine for that? I don't know the rules, but I do wonder if they will get a fine for...
I mean, look. I would have suspected they would, because you have to field a certain amount of team. But we have seen teams, and we called it last time, didn't we, that were, was it seven or was it eight players? I think it was. It might have been, Scorchers. Earlier in the season, they played a couple of games. They had eight people. I think Bristol did as well, and it's purely because of injury. But you still think you've probably got enough to field the full 10. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there are two ways to look at this, I think, is...
Steve Nelson said it last week. When old teams were kitting up, it was like 10 people kit up, that's it. And you do think, this is professional people, why can't you get 10 people? Because all of these teams must have academies.
And they should have let us play. Mark, would you sign a contract for no money to turn up and be on the bench?
Jokes aside, there was a couple of people saying, if you'd have let some of those academy kids or some of the players in the academy or in, you know, whatever the association is below their main team, any of those players would have chewed their arm off.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, you would.
They're bottom of the league. They've got nothing to lose. Give them a taste, a feeder. This is
didn't
what
Caledonia do it this year? Yep. I can't remember.
They got that kid as a feeder. I'm sure they got him playing, didn't they? Or they got him on the bench or something like that.
It rings a bell. But yeah, that's a great idea. They should have done that.
Because it's the last little bit of the game. You go, it's not going to make a difference to them as much. But then when you see six players turn up, you go, oh, fellas.
Yeah, I mean...
Shout out to Patrick Whelan, though, because he absolutely led with 25 points. And he's had a good, solid season when he's been playing this year. He just, you know, shows his class. But that was Plymouth, slightly limited rotation. You're not going to get anything on that, are you? As simple as that. Caledonia, like, they got one person on the bench, five on the court and one on the bench. Let's just run at them.
I mean, done. I'm just basing this on the Plymouth Patriots and the Caledonia Gladiator fans, and I'm quoting here some of their fans. Look like it hasn't stopped them being awesome tonight. Go Patriots. This is another fan. An amazing performance from the five who played the whole game. Absolute heroes.
Yeah.
Here's some of the others. A Gladiators fan wrote, an outstanding performance with only five on the court.
Yep.
And when the opposing team is saying that, I mean...
Do you know, they got it within 4 points. They got within 4 points and before in the first half. And their 3 points, I think it was their 3 points, absolutely just keeping them in the game.
You're not coming off, are you? So you're in the game.
Does that help, do you reckon?
Sometimes I think it does.
Because you've got the flow in there and then you're like, I'm in the game.
And there's no pressure on them. Like, you're going in a game against third in the league.
Yeah.
You're the underdog. You're bottom of the league. There's zero pressure to perform. You're not going to get subbed off if you miss a layup.
So mentally,
you're just like, I'm playing the whole game here. Like,
so could you think then, because they're relaxed in that way?
Yeah, it could be.
It really makes it.
I mean, there have been games where I've played in or I've coached and we've had a really strong team and an opposing team's turned up with six players and we go, like, we got this. And then we get killed and you think, maybe there is something in what you said.
I genuinely wonder that because it's just something mentally there where you go, that whole, positivity that you spin on it, you suddenly go, oh, I just suddenly don't feel that pressure and I can breathe.
Well, you don't warm down either. Like, you're in the game, you're constantly there. Like, when you sit on the bench, you might cool off. It might take you 2-3 minutes to get back into it. You know what it's like. All these players have it where you think, all right, they've been cold for a few minutes and then they start warming up again. These guys were in the game and that's it. They were there. I don't know what fatigue's like towards the end of the game with those guys, but yeah.
It really goes to show, doesn't it?
Yeah, I actually thought it was, in a weird way, I thought it was a great story because it was like, look, you missed the bus, or the plane. You missed the plane because you're having breakfast. That is an absolute classic, funny story. And again, those players are going to be talking about that for a long time.
Yes.
However,
yes,
there is a but here. I do think... there hasn't been an open apology from those letters to the fans because they're the ones who are really let down. You're bottom of the league. You're not playing for anything now. There's no apology to the fans who are the main ones to be let down there.
And you've got people there. Now, Plymouth lost Mason Faulkner, who at the very beginning of the season, you know, he's gone back to the States now, I believe, to get rehab because he got quite badly injured, I think, on his knee. So rightly, he went back to have the rehab and do things properly. But he would have been huge for Plymouth. He was a dominant player. And the first thing when they said, oh, they're not on that plane, people were saying, like, oh, they probably jumped on another plane and gone back to the States.
Yeah.
And you can't help thinking...
I know, a Canadian player and an American player, yeah.
Yeah, when you look at that, you go...
3 games left, a week left in the season.
And you're at the bottom, they just go, oh, we're done. That says as much about having lots of international players in the league as it does about having, you know, homegrown talent, because you go,
I would have bloody suited up Pat Wright's. I would have sat him
on the bench.
Well, he can
there is no rule to say, as a player, you can't be sat there in a dog outfit. I'd have had Pat Wright sat on the bench.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is a rule.
I bet there is a rule, yeah.
You can't have a massive dog head on.
No, I mean, look, I'm going to say Whelan and Clifton Moore Jr., they, like, late game, they were the ones who pushed it through. 13-0 run right at the very end of the game, and that's what basically made the difference. So total shout out to them. But TJ Atwood and Spencer Levi for the Patriots, absolute double-doubles. You couldn't fault them. And what's funny is I didn't watch this game originally. And then when I heard about all that, I thought, I've got to watch this whole game because of all the fans saying how, and like you just said, the Caledonia fans saying, those guys put an absolute fight up. And they did. They just, you know, it wasn't just that they had a deeper team. Caledonia are a stronger team, but it was just, you actually saw some people playing with heart there. And I thought that was, they did that for their fans. And that's total respect.
Let's see what happens with those guys, because the only thing I do think with generally the BBL is things get processed a little slow. Like, we saw it with the incident in Manchester. Remember that? Mm-hmm. The malice in Manchester. And a bit like this one. Okay, the guys missed a flight. Give them a slap on the wrist. Get them to send an apology. Let's move on. But by not doing that and delaying it, it says to me, hang on, what's going on? Like, the next day, apologies. If this was the NBA, the very next day. Actually, if it was the NBA, someone had been running down and going, lads, what are you doing? Get on the plane. Which says to me, this whole, are they having breakfast in the airport? Were they? I don't know. But the longer that apology, the more conspiracy theories will go out there. Exactly. And the more the Patriot fans will be like, screw you.
Someone told them.
It takes 2 seconds to say sorry, doesn't it?
Someone told them they got to get to Glasgow and they thought they'd take the fitness route, and they're both on their bikes, still currently riding up and, you know, incorporated with a charity run or something. Like, you know, it doesn't matter which way you swing it. Like you say, miscommunication and non-communication is they just absolutely kill it, don't they? But yeah, so what a way to start that thing. But, you know, kudos to Plymouth for putting on that fight.
Yeah, and are we ending that? Is that game over now, like, talking wise?
Mm-hmm.
Because I gotta personally apologize to all Plymouth Patriot fans.
Really?
Because there was something last week that I should have mentioned, and it was on my list, and I completely forgot about it because I was in the Northern studio trying to be quiet.
Yeah, how did that work out?
Well, I want to talk about the most amazing shot in recent times. Pat Riot's behind the back shot from the halfway line. He even looked shocked that he got in.
I mean, you've got to, I guess, if you're a mascot,
you got to post that on the socials.
But you've also got to be practicing those things as well, just in the hope that you're doing stuff like that at some point.
That was great. It was just, yeah, that was, he's very, definitely very the arguably the best mascot in, I'm going to say in the country. He's the best mascot in the country of all sports. Of all sports, he is the best mascot. Bam. Like, who beats him?
I don't know. I don't know any other mascots, generally.
Any other mascots? I mean, other than basketball, they generally just walk around a little bit. Yeah. That mascot, you know, with Chris, you know, historically, it's just brought character to it, you know, influence from America.
But yeah, they've done it the right way. Absolutely.
So Pat Wright's great shot. Shout out to you there. Well, sorry, Mark, I had to get that one in.
I know, but it's good because we can go back to Cheshire versus Plymouth, which is one of the first games this week. It's no real surprise. Phoenix beat them 112-80. It was a pretty comfortable win. Aaron Ray, 20 points, totally steered the whole Phoenix. He, like, when you look at Aaron Ray playing, I've liked him from the stop, because when people have said, oh, you know, he was a D1 player and then he's moved up from D1, and people had questions, people were questioning him, like, how do you, you know, perform in the BBL? He's been one of the most outstanding players in the whole BBL this season, without question. Seeing him, what he was like in that trophy, and what he's even winning 3-point competition, I think. But he has just been such a strong player for Cheshire. And I know that, you know, the beginning of the season, they were doing a lot of stuff about Skylar White and those sort of things. But for me, he's, I mean, I know they've had LaQuincy as well. he's performing superbly, but you can't argue with Aaron Roy, really. I think he's one of the best players in the BBL currently. But genuinely,
oh yeah, he's definitely up there, and I love the fact that he's been brought up from the NBL.
Yeah,
and
because they were D1 NBL, wasn't he?
Yeah, that progression. But I love the fact that when we were talking to Paul Blake about it, he was like, "Yeah, we were aware. There was a couple of teams aware, and
trying to get him.
Cheshire just played the right cards or whatever it is to get him." So
yeah,
yeah. You know what? Just going back to our first point.
Yep.
I don't know why it just popped in my head. You've just lost to Cheshire by 32.
Mm-hmm.
You now got to get on another flight to third in the league.
Mm-hmm.
The longer that apology comes, the more conspiracy theories people are going to say, oh, they've just given up.
Yep.
They've just gone home.
And, you know...
Actually, let's see if they turn up next game.
Well, for Plymouth, Jacob Wiley was taking the fight to Cheshire in that first half, second half. They sort of really dropped off, to be perfectly fair. And it was, it was LaQuincy being really like aggressive, I think is probably the best way to put it. But you know, when one player, I've actually put in my notes, demoralized Plymouth. Because it was like they were giving, giving the ball to Jordan or Kobe, but you could almost tell they gave him the ball and they knew he was going to do something with it and go in and go hard. Plymouth just didn't have an answer for him. You watch them sink, and they got a few points back in towards the end, but Cheshire had just stretched that lead, and you went 30 points by the end of the third quarter, I think it was, and you're just like, they were trailing. There's nothing you can do on that. So a predictable win for Cheshire, but predictable wins weren't common this week. I think it's probably fair to say.
The rest was a great week.
I mean, yeah, 100%. Like, even just putting the fact that with Cheshire, it's showing how, not in a bad way, but I think they gave away. There was a couple of moves that they did, and I'm trying to think of the name of the player. I should have written it down. But there was a couple of moves, and I thought, I've just seen that you've done an actual play there. And I don't know if you've pulled that all season. I haven't really been aware of it. But that was very clear that there was a play involved there. And suddenly you think, have you just shown people something going into the playoffs? So we've only got one more week and then it's playoffs. Like, if you're in this position, do you want to be showing your, we're trying something out here?
When does the league finish? The actual...
So this is week 27 and we got week 28 next week. So week 28 is actually commencing as of the next game is on the 18th, Thursday, the 18th of April. And that'll be week 28 effectively, and that's it. There's like seven
so
more
when's
games,
the last it. The last actual game when's
21st
that?
Of April.
Oh right, so we're not far away, and we only got like four games each per team, and then we're in playoffs.
Some of like London, I think, got two, the other teams have got like three or so. But yeah,
London's gonna be done. They're gonna be done waiting for another week.
So this is where it gets interesting. Then you go, okay, now we're gonna go off to Bristol.
Before you say this, can I just highlight something? This is great. So in this case in particular, when we talk about second place, you've got Caledonia and Cheshire. They're the only two teams fighting for second place.
That's right.
At the moment. And then you've got Sheffield, Leicester and Newcastle fighting for that fourth spot.
Yes.
But Bristol are unique, and this is what's great about the end of this season, is Bristol can finish anywhere between fifth and eighth in the league at the moment.
And you know what's really, really nice is that, a bit like in the NBA in the play-in, so to speak, a lot of these teams, their fate are the games that they've got in hand. So all of these games that they're playing, it's their fate. If they lose this game, you're basically making it harder for yourself to get in fifth. You might get sixth instead. But if you win the game, okay, you probably might not be eighth, but there's more. So every single...
But look, Leicester and Newcastle could finish seventh.
Yeah, do you know what? I saw that graphic earlier and I tried to screen save it. I forgot. Shout out to... That's the basketball league who did that, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. It's a great way to
look at it. Those graphics that the basketball league do, where they've just put that table and it says, this is where anyone can
plenty
follow.
Plenty to play for.
Amazing.
Versus, yeah.
And they also do the one again. I liked it. They actually refreshed it this week of the one where people have moved up and moved down, and it shows, oh, these people have moved a few places and haven't. I love those graphics, so they're absolutely not killing it for those things. So absolute respect, well done for doing that.
So when you talk about this game, Bristol versus Newcastle.
Yes.
Bristol can finish fifth. Newcastle can finish seventh. This is huge.
Yeah, it's absolutely a huge, huge, huge game. Now,
Where was this? This was in Newcastle.
Yes.
Oh, jeez. Eagle's Nest. It's a hard place to go to.
But look, if you think of it and you go, right, we are going to those places, the same as like Cheshire went down to Plymouth. It's Plymouth, but so what? It's a road trip. If you're doing any road trip, doesn't matter what team you are, it makes it difficult. You're in the Eagle's Nest. And what happens? Newcastle Eagles 86.
Look at that game.
Bristol Flyers 90.
Look how close that is.
Right. I've got the stat for you this time. Mm. Right.
I love stats, Mark.
Right. And I'm going to give this stat. And it's not
in
here.
This is a good stat. I'm going to call you Mr. Statto.
It's on my phone. And I'm going to thank Keith White for this one.
Keith.
He sent it to me after the game.
Newcastle Bald Eagle, legend.
And what did he put there?
Fimber.
What did he write there?
Legend.
Free throws.
Oh.
Okay.
How many free throws?
Bear in mind, 86 to 90, Eagles lost by 4.
4-point game, yeah.
Yep. The Eagles. Free throws. Sorry, Bristol Flyers free throws. 20 for 20, 100%.
Oh, that got you excited, didn't it, Mark?
Honestly, I was frothing when I read that. Newcastle Eagles, they took 24, they shot 25.
Yeah.
13 went in. 52%.
Wow. So you 13 out of 25?
Yeah. There's 12 that they dropped and they lost by 4. There's your win. That's like that. Literally, there's no excuse in there. It's like, so Keith sent me, shout out to Keith again for sending that because he knows I'm hot on the free. You've lost. You're one I'm meant to be.
That's
like you
quite
said.
Common, though. That's quite common. But yeah, if they hit those free throws, the game's completely different. Free throws win games.
When you're playing the opposition who hit 20 for 20 and you're hitting flipping 13 out of 25,
yeah,
that is poor.
You only need to hit half of the free throws. Sorry, you only need to hit a third of the free throws and you got that you missed.
Yep.
And you got a tied game. Hit half of them and you've won.
12. So they literally have to, 4 games. And then even if they hit 4 of those more, they'd have had a tied game. And you're talking like 17 or 18 out of 23 still. And you go, all right, you missed 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Okay, we can forgive you that. So, but
there's so many
you've got
games
to give credit
to free throws. So
you've got
many.
To give credit for 20 out of 20 for free throws.
What would you do?
That's pretty impressive that the whole team, 20 for 20.
Let me put you in a scenario. You're now the Newcastle Eagles coach and someone's just missed their first free throw and is time out, Newcastle.
Yeah.
And you go, lads, come in. You've just seen someone miss a free throw. Lads, listen.
I'm disappointed you're not doing your Newcastle accent.
Lads, listen.
No, butchered. Move on.
Listen, what do you say? Go.
What, when they say, listen?
The whole team around you, coach. Coach.
Yeah. What? As in, we're 4 points down?
Someone's just missed 4 free throws. What do you say?
You're not coming on again. That's it.
What happens if the whole team miss free throws?
I don't think that's the case. I think a lot of the time, like you only think, you see some of those players, Kyrie is a perfect example of that. There's so many players who are looking for that foul and they drive in knowing I'm getting the and one. I think it was him who's got the highest statistic. It might be in the NBA, I'm not sure. But they released it quite recently. They said, these are one of the highest, and they did one for the BBL as well. It might have been LaQuincy or Johnson, I'm not sure. But they're the highest percentage for and ones. I think we talked about it, but it's totally gone from my
can't
brain.
Remember. Coach, I broke two of my fingers. Is that an excuse for missing a free throw? Or am I going to be subbed?
So what, they broken them during the shot?
Yeah, and I missed it.
If you broke it during the shot, if you've broken your fingers, it'd be like, you're not taking the shot. It's simple as that. It's no excuse. The same as didn't they have it in football where they said these people were arguing about taking a penalty? You go, no, he takes the penalty.
Coach, I was just thinking about something else. Sorry.
It's like, do you want to break the other two fingers?
Can I go back in the game, coach?
If you want to have the other broken fingers, yeah, it's up to you.
Yeah, that's the 12, yeah.
Do you know what I would do?
I don't know who came up with that. But free throws win games.
100%.
It would have been someone famous.
Do you know what it is? It's fundamentals. Fundamentals win games. Because it's rebounds. You've also heard rebounds win games when they talk about Rodman.
No, rebounds win championships.
Sorry, championships. That's Pat Riley, wasn't it?
Yeah, Pat Riley. Rebounds win championships.
All of these, it's always, what is it? Rebounds win it. No turnovers win it. Hitting your basic shots, hitting your free throws, being open. There was a really nice one the other week that was it was something like 92% of the time of a game, the ball is not in your hands. So why do you focus on 8% of the time?
I think it's more than that. I think it was like 95, 96.
Yeah, but they're like that whole time that you have the ball, that's what you practice for. But no one ever practices what they're not doing when they don't have the ball. And it's like, that's actually a time you should really focus on as well. I thought it was really interesting.
I've got a great quote for you.
Do it.
This is a me, Paul Goodell quote for you. I am a firm believer that if you score more points than the other team, you will win the game. Fact. Boom. Let's move on. Let's go.
What a treasure chest of knowledge you are. So, Bristol Fires took that one. And I mean, yeah. Kedren Johnson. I'm going to say he led the comeback because of 18 points.
Yeah, you spoke about him before we went on about how impressed you were with him.
Look, the main thing with him is he took that 9-0 run. And that run, actually, I think they were like 11 points, I want to say, or 12 points. It was a double-digit deficit they were behind. That 9-point run put them in distance because, you know, Newcastle had that push. And then they just took it in. But the stat for winning... 100% goes to the free throws. 100% without question. So I'm quite happy. I was quite happy to bang my drum on that. Most pleased with that. But the next game, you know, also what I will say on that one, you just mentioned it, that victory keeps the Bristol playoff, their hopes alive, but also trying to get a strong finish, like you said about what position they could be in, because they've won against a game that you wouldn't expect them to win. That's really helped them in the same way. Eagles, they've got to really regroup because suddenly they're like, hang on.
They can end up in seventh.
Yeah, they could really suddenly slip down. And they've only got a week to go. And we were talking about a team who were like fourth, fifth and they were strong. So that game just completely shook everything up. The next game.
Hey, I've got Kate. I'm going to call him KJ.
KJ.
Kenjin Johnson. KJ, Johnson. His stats. His box score was 18 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Mark!
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what's funny is you see 18, 5 and 3, that's a solid performance, but it doesn't do him a service on the actual game itself. I watched this game. He was absolutely superb and was very pivotal for Bristol, which I, you know, earlier in the season... There were different players in Bristol and they've had some injury and they've had some movement. So I think it was really, really good seeing someone like that.
I have got a question for him.
What?
I got a real, really good question I'd love to ask him.
Why have you zoomed that picture on his groin?
Hey, that's not his groin. That's on his leg.
Oh, okay. Sorry, that's upside down.
So it's with... He's got really, really low-cut shoes there.
So Paul's pointing at his sneakers at this point.
So it's really low-cut shoes. So I wonder...
They look like
do
bookers.
They tape up all their ankles before I'd imagine they do.
No, you say that now. A lot of people don't now.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So if you
I'd love to know if he does. With those shoes, I mean, that is ankle breaking, isn't it?
Yeah. The whole... I'm trying to... let me see if I can find a picture of the book one, actually.
But look, just in contrast to Connor Morgan, London Lions, look at his shoes. See the difference?
Okay.
There, here's a quite high cut. Look, I'm going to go through some of these players. It's just, again, Tevin Olsen. Look at his. Just lost it.
So that's the book one, which that Devin Booker wears.
Oh, yeah. No, his are quite low as well.
Yes, they're the fashion at the moment.
Damn.
Do you know what it is? It's ever since Kobe did the... I want to say it's the Kobe 8s, I want to say.
Holy crap, look at Patrick Whelan.
Yeah. Look,
there's loads of low cuts.
That's Devin Booker from the Phoenix Suns. The book one is one that's almost... he's trying to do a shoe that's going to be like a Air Force One kind of replacement. But look, it literally... Look at this. That one. That's how they're playing on the court. There's literally no support there whatsoever.
I'd love to get a player's perspective on that.
Well, it's all from, I really want to say it's the Kobe, it's the...
I'm going to have to see if I can find it for the show, but I have found the greatest shoe.
It is those. It is the Kobe, the proto. So it's Kobe had these and he always wore them. But what did he wear? He wore two supports underneath. He had a little strap underneath because he had his thing taped underneath there. So okay. That's fine. But that's why Kobe had a low shoe.
I could be wrong, but I think all NBA players have to tape their ankles up.
A lot of them do, but, you know.
I think they will. I don't know. Well, I think it's a great question.
Listen, let's go back to the next. We'll go on to the next game and we're going London Lions versus Plymouth City Patriots. And you think, all right, it's going to be a game.
How? In what order was this played in? So they just lost to Cheshire.
So they lost to Cheshire at the beginning of last week.
Then they played London.
And then they're playing London at home again.
So they're losing by 36.
Yeah. It was emphatic win.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? It does make
you
wonder.
You're starting this off again, are
you? You lose by top of the league.
But so they lose to Cheshire.
And you're about to go to the third team in the top of the league.
And then they lose
row.
To Lions.
It makes you wonder why if they just can't screw it.
And then
going home.
At the very last game, they just didn't bother. So that's where that's why those rumours came about, because the very last game of the week, everyone's like, they're not sticking.
I can see why people are thinking it.
Yep. But I'm not gonna dwell on that game.
No.
It was London took control. It was I put a 10-point lead, but I didn't put the timing. It was like there's a 10-point lead. And end of the half, 50-29. I mean, it's a 21-point lead at halftime. If you've got, it's not even that London had 50 at the first half. If you've kept the other team to 29 points in a half,
you've done all right, haven't you?
I mean, what's that? It's pretty shocking, really, isn't it? So, Connor Morgan, fantastic for the Lions. As always, 20 points, effective shooting, did really well for himself. He is definitely player of the game.
Mark, you need to do better than that.
Plymouth struggling.
You need to do better than that. You need to say, Connor Morgan with 20.7 rebounds and 5 assists, Mark!
Well, honestly, that was a great performance for London on the road. Did really, really well. This brings us to another shocker. Here's another shocker.
Is this
the
big one? Look at that. I mean, this is
in the Shark Tank.
I actually thought this was the biggest news of the week. Seeing this, because at the beginning of the week, wherever you look at it,
you got that table again.
The Sharks were in fifth.
Yep.
And we were looking at the run-in going, I'm not sure about this fourth spot. It's going to be quite tricky, but I'll let you continue.
No, honestly, that game, if you said Sheffield Sharks and Caledonia, if you said those two straight off the bat, and you think, well, probably Caledonia, they've got some massive defence. And with Quade Green, Clifton Moore Jr., Patrick Whelan back on foot, he's like, yeah, they're doing all right. They're going to smash them. And that wasn't really how it sort of came about. I was quite surprised. The key person here is a player that you like, Jalen Pipkins.
Jalen Pipkins is a bloody legend, Mark.
So he had 14 points, but I put in here,
I think he's a great character.
Standout
as well.
Defense.
Yes. Yes.
Standout. That was my
word. He is a standout player.
So they stopped the Gladiators for 62 points in that game. 69-62. I would never have thought that's a low scoring game. And it wasn't because Caledonia just weren't getting, I mean, some of their shots weren't dropping, but honestly, Sheffield played some of the best defence I've seen. And I didn't watch this game because I thought it was a foregone conclusion. And
that's
was going to watch
name.
The
That's a good name for a band, Foregone Conclusion.
I like Space Shuttle Crash Autopsy Party, but Quade Green, really, really doing well, but 6-point lead, extended it to 13, but then I want to say he tailed off a bit. But Sheffield just kept them behind the whole time. And Sheffield's quarter was the third. They did 24-10 outscore. 24-10.
Jalen Pipkins tattoos. They look real cool, mate.
They're very cool. And they took basically that control back in that third quarter, because you thought at that point, what they're going to do. But so I know you like this. It's a second half turnaround. And it really was a case of they came out fighting at the half. So they went into the half, came back out, and that Q3, 14 points over the Gladiators, took control and literally were controlling the game as well. And then Gladiators were like, oh, okay. Nothing. Crucial baskets at the end from Pipkins. Quade Green, 15.7 assists, and Clifford Moore Jr. with a double-double with three blocks. I mean, you can't ask more from the Gladiators, but I think they actually, once they met their match, but I think they could be a bogey team from, because I was genuinely really, really surprised. So their defensive thing has really, really helped them. Underlined that, helped their playoff positioning, as Paul was saying. And they matched, by doing this, they matched Newcastle in wins.
Going for that home court advantage.
And that was holding the tiebreaker for the postseason. This was of the game for Sheffield that changed everything. And you thought, oh, okay, well, what's going to happen here? So, we move on to the next one, because I put my notes twice, because I'm a wally. Blah, 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 blah. So the next game then, what happened? Surrey are playing Newcastle Eagles. Now, you would think here, at this point, if you're going into this game, now bear in mind when these games were played.
Thing is, anyone outside of London,
yeah,
and maybe anyone from 2 to 8, maybe even you'd say 2 to 9, maybe. I don't know. Anyone can beat anyone. Definitely 2 to
100%. 8. 100%. So you think Sharks have just played on the 12th and they beat Caledonia. Scorchers were playing the Eagles at Surrey Sports Park. They were playing the next day. The Eagles have just seen that Sheffield have won their game, which they might have expected not as the case. And you think, oh, okay. And we've now got an away game. So that, I think, put a lot of pressure on them. And I think Surrey took advantage of that. I think Surrey took advantage of that spectacularly. Both teams pretty strong. Started really well, but Surrey pulled ahead. Cameron Gooden, should I say. He was.
You say Karen?
No, I said Gooderman rather than Goodman. I said Goodman. I don't know. I got the words wrong.
Cam. I think they call him Cam.
Yeah.
Cam Gooden.
But inside and perimeter shooting, he was absolutely solid, just getting them off that start. And it's not sometimes that you need someone who's going to be the highest scorer, but sometimes you need someone just to create that momentum in the team where you're thinking, okay, we've got control of this game. And they're at home, and I think they use that to their advantage because they went on a three-point flurry. And I think it was like 28-19 I've put down here, just from that three-point shooting on the first quarter. Halftime, Surrey led 51-45. So you can see in that game where they were not just keeping them at distance, but keep them three or four sort of buckets distance. And they just kept that. And you, well, what's going on here? The gap extended a little bit more in the third. And then fourth quarter, they just put the hammer down. I mean, 90-77. It's only 13 points. But the Eagles being kept for 77, I'm quite surprised at. More than anything. You know,
what were the free throws like in this game, do you know? Did they improve it and not miss 12 free throws?
I didn't look. I generally didn't look.
That'd be good to know.
Oh, yeah, I will have to have a look at that. But honestly, I mean, Jordan Johnson leading the charge, but he couldn't do anything about really Surrey's defence. And so this is my two takeaways for certainly this week. Just like we saw with the Sharks, what did Surrey do? They upped their defence. And that made a massive, massive difference to the flow of the game. What did Patriots do when they were playing against Caledonia? They were playing some hard defence. It threw off Caledonia, clearly, because even though there are only six people against the full team, they gave it all, but it stifled them. And you actually see that some of these teams now are really playing heavy defence, and you're seeing the impact on these scores. They're so low. I wouldn't have thought you'd have 77 as a game for the Newcastle Eagles. They got so many scorers on their team. It's just low.
The only thing you got to consider up next for them, I think tomorrow night, is their away to London Lions.
That's going to be tough. And then they're at home. Yep. Leicester. Look, that is huge.
Huge. But I'm going to give another one in Newcastle Eagles. I'm going to give Malcolm Delpech a shout out because he came off the bench and he was actually like a... He brought something to it. I like players who do that. They don't necessarily contribute, but just, again, 15, 20 points. But they come onto the bench and then that whole team shifts. So it's obviously there's a different player.
Well, remember, Steve Nelson said there was a player who was always getting picked in front of him.
Yeah.
Because he was the guy in front of him was a better defender.
Yes.
And would lock out the best player on the other team.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was that wake up moment for him. Like,
well, Cameron Gooden got the player of the game. And that was the reason, because of him locking up in defence. And I just think it's really interesting. There's been a lot of games won on not really good offense, but very, very strong defense. That's what's made these wins different. So, yeah, I thought that was a real... I mean, that was a great changer, because then suddenly Newcastle have lost. Now what?
Well, that's
changed the whole thing with the league now, hasn't it? And
well, they've dropped down to, sixth?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So that loss is the biggest impact.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Leicester and Sharks, that one loss pushed them from fourth to sixth overnight.
Oh, yeah. Indefinitely. And especially as well when you think, I won't say they were not relying on it, but they would have thought, okay, we're playing Surrey, and they might have just taken their foot off and thought, this is where we are in the league. They can't do that. Look at the league. They were playing Surrey. Well, Surrey are on 14 wins now. They're only 3 wins behind the Eagles. And look, Surrey at the moment are going to be playing the Lions. So not ideal in that sort of scenario in terms of going in the playoffs. But then Bristol, are they going to be playing Cheshire? Well, that could be interesting. And the top four obviously get home court advantage. So, you know, you have those advantages as well in the 3 games. So I think it could be an interesting... I think this fourth and fifth in particular is going to be a real...
You know what?
Fourth, fifth and sixth, I think they're the ones that you almost want to fight for. Because
I would add Bristol to that now. Just look at that table.
They were up third.
They're one...
At the beginning of the season, they're up at third. And then they had some injuries.
They're one win away, depending if what happens with Newcastle and the other guys. But they're one win away from Leicester and Newcastle.
Now, they've got a game in hand, remember, compared to some of those others.
Yeah, I know. But...
I think it's exciting. It's very exciting when you see this. You're seeing all this middle bit. And so, you know, congratulations to Surrey, taking advantage of the home, putting a home win on, putting a great performance, 13-point victory over the Eagles. That's fantastic. And I won't say we've just talked about them, but Bristol actually were playing Manchester Giants same day. 20-point win. It was... I can go into the basic outline of the game. Bristol just dominant, 100% dominant. I watched this on catch up and it was Green. Green was the one who you're thinking, is he not only finding his form, but he's at the very end of the season and it's like he's found his little place in the team where it I won't say struggled, but Brad Green, strong presence, can't go wrong with him. Absolutely building the early lead, and he was crucial there. For Bristol as well, Tevin Ollison, 24 points. I know you like Tevin. 6 rebounds as well, adding on the perimeter shooting. And I think that's quite good to see that you're getting a shooter who's getting those rebounds at the same time. In terms of the game itself, just an overview on that really was simply, they just came out flying, as they are the Flyers. I thought you'd like that. But... they opened the scoring. Manchester tried to push back and they kept the pace. But William Lee, who, you know, he'd come back off of injury early at the beginning of the season, he was still making his mark. He was very aggressive and tried to keep them in it. But Jacob just excelled in transitions and kept them over. Manchester, though, you'll like this, 12 turnovers. How about that for a stat? 12 turnovers that Manchester had. Led to 18 points. So, I mean, that's a high conversion rate for a turnover from Bristol. So credit to them.
sorry, 16 points. I read it wrong. But still, 12 turnovers to 16 points. That's a pretty good efficiency rating. So fair play to them for making the most of that. And by that point, it was like 48-30 and half time. And I won't say the game's over, but it's almost a 20-point game at half. So that was it. And they just kept that. They kept the spacing. They did a great job. But 12 turnovers, that for me was the big red flag there. You can't be doing that.
12 turnovers or 12 missed free throws. What's worse, Mark?
Missed free throws. If you're doing a turnover, you could have been panicked. You could have been stressed. You've got someone actively defending you. If you're doing a free throw, the only person you're fighting is your own mind.
Mm.
And if you fail that, it's because you're weak.
You're weak-minded. Wow. I got to say, I do like the stat of the conversion of turnover to points.
It's good, isn't it?
Because
12 turnovers to 16 points.
Yeah.
So maximum, the maximum you could get, I guess, would be threes, but you're not going to get 36 points off of 12.
You know what I'm saying. If it's a turnover and someone said, based on those turnovers, the other team scored 20 points, it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
If it was 0 points, you'd go, oh, okay.
I think it's one of the stats John Stockton is like, we're almost untouchable at. And it's that converted, not only how many steals he got in his career, but how many those steals led to points at the other, like directly, he stole it and it led to points at the other end.
Yeah, it's like John Stockton, Steve Ware, kind of same thing, isn't it?
In a very...
pretty broad way.
I mean, it's not in the same ballpark, maybe the same continent perhaps, but yeah.
Can I just, looking forward at the fixtures coming up,
yes.
You got to talk about Sheffield and Leicester.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggie. I think that's coming down to that. Like when you're looking through this, it's like, look, Cheshire probably are going to finish second.
Yep.
They've got the better head-to-head points difference and all of that. It's looking very promising. They're going to have to dive off a cliff, and Caledonian going to have to do very well with their points to catch up. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to beat someone by a lot.
When you just mentioned those teams... You just mentioned those teams now. We can literally cover that game in 1 second.
Shoot.
Cheshire played Sheffield. It's funny you mentioned both those teams at the same time. The next game was literally them. Sheffield were winning during that game. And Cheshire overcame like a 17-point deficit. But Sheffield were winning that game. And I totally go watch that game. Because you actually watched Cheshire just have to keep finding a gear and going, we're way behind here. And it's not the first time they've been behind this season. And it's not the first time they've clawed their way back into something. So I don't know if that's a tactic with Cheshire. But what you're saying about them being comfortable in that sort of second, third...
Or maybe a slow start.
I genuinely think that is. You never see them seem to come out punching. Sheffield,
hey, they did in the BBL final.
Yeah, they definitely did in that.
I like the fact LaQuincy Rideau, he was... well up for that. He came up punching. He was like...
He did. But I mean, look, Bennett Cogg and Melik Green were definitely Sheffield's like early on pivot guys. I think they got something like a 12, 13 point in total stretch where I won't say Cheshire looked a bit lost. They got a couple of points back. And then it was like an 8-9 point lead that they had. They kept it.
It was LaQuincy and Rye who were just keeping Cheshire in the game at that point, wasn't it?
And Maceo Jack, 31 points. Can't go wrong with that. And that was a second half comeback. And that was him just basically turning up. So I think it's interesting that you have these teams that have slow starts. They don't do very well. But then I wonder, so this is why I thought you find it interesting. I wonder if at half time, you know, they're saying you've got to get back in the game. And why is the coach saying you've got to get back in the game? They're like, Cheshire are up. And now you're thinking of the playoffs. And you think, well, hang on, look, Cheshire are on a good run here. Sorry, Sheffield are on a good run here. If they win this, if they steal this game, they could create a problem for us in the second round of the playoffs. Because that's where you're going to start looking now. And where people are finishing on this setup, it's going to be...
I like to think as the Cheshire coach at halftime, do you know American... what's it called? American... No. Damn, I've forgotten what the film name's. What the name of the film is.
Which one? Is it like Guttery, Harder and Sartman?
Any Given Sunday.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So remember when Al Pacino's like, you got a claw for that inch.
Yeah, yeah. And LL Cool J licking his lips every 2 to 10 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like to think that that's the speech that those guys got. And they came out and just like, yeah.
31.7.
The difference between living
three-pointers.
And dying.
7 3-pointers. Maceo Jack hit. 7 3-pointers. That was him. Without that, they're not getting their win.
Maceo Jack with 31 points, 4 rebounds, 3 steals, Mark.
And look, I mean, that rounded up the week because we've obviously talked about Caledonia and Plymouth City Patriots. But I mean, that
low cut shoe as well.
Very low cut shoe.
Like that Kobe shoe you showed me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's where it comes from. Everything's come from the proto. It's like that was his thing and everyone loves it because they love a low shoe. But you go, where's the issue?
Am I just old school? Like, I just want a bit of ankle protection.
Do you know what? There's like so many people who are talking about why are the big, like the Converse, not the weapons necessarily, but some of those big shoes, why are they not more popular? Because you see all these people rolling ankles. There was one last week, I can't remember the player, but they rolled spectacularly. And it's just a low shoe because it looks cool. But look at that league now. So we've got London Lions number one, Cheshire Phoenix number two, Caledonia number three. At the moment, I guess we're saying Sheffield Sharks in fourth position. Yeah. They have not been that high.
But look, they got to take on Leicester in fifth.
Yeah.
That is huge.
That is massive. And Leicester are one win behind at the moment, but they're also one game in hand.
Oh, I don't know the order of the games. When do they have to play? Do they play their other game first?
Well,
or do they go head-to-head first?
You might need to go to next week.
I want to say Sheffield have got to take on... Damn it, who does Sheffield have to play?
Here you go.
Sheffield take on Plymouth. Plymouth first. Sheffield at home to Plymouth, and then...
Leicester are actually playing Manchester Giants first.
Yeah, so keep going.
Yep.
And then
Leicester are playing... Sorry.
Oh, not playing each other then?
Nope.
Oh.
No, they don't need to play each other.
I thought they were playing each other the last game.
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's a shame.
No, it's Cheshire and Lions. That's the ironically everyone's saying, is that the final? Is the last game the final? Because it's Cheshire versus Lions.
They've just got one game left. Sheffield, one game.
Sheffield got one game, which is against Plymouth City Patriots. So I would have thought, given how they did last time, they'd be
okay. So if they win that game...
Yeah. Leicester have got two games left.
Oh, so it's in Leicester's hands.
Yes.
If Leicester win against Manchester
and
away to Surrey, they go fourth. All right, okay.
Yeah. So that is...
But I've always thought this. I'd rather have the game in hand. No, sorry. I'd rather have played the game than be thinking I've got to play two games, because you always get down the season, you're like, oh, yeah, well, we've got three games in hand. You got to win those three games.
Yeah.
I'd rather have played it.
I mean, look, here's the good news for Sheffield, though, and this is good news for them, is they're playing home to Plymouth City Patriots. So there's probably a good chance that only half of the Plymouth team going to turn up. They might get lost in the coach park or something, or someone decides.
They'll be getting a bus up there. Depends if there's any good restaurants by the bus stop.
They might find a little chef en route and decide to just pull over for a bit and have a little... You know, some of those breakfasts, mate, in those motorway services, they're pretty...
This is key. So Leicester have got the advantage of head-to-head over Newcastle and Sheffield. So if they win those two games in hand, they go fourth, no question.
Okay, so here's the thing now. Let's go back to that. You've just said that. Look at Newcastle. They're in 17.
It's out of Newcastle's hands.
Yeah. It's completely out of their hands.
And Leicester is all in Leicester's hand. If Leicester lose one,
but look who
Sheffield.
Look who Newcastle have to play tomorrow in two days' time. They got to play Cheshire Phoenix.
That'd be a great game.
At home in Newcastle. But look, if they win that game, that puts them up immediately next to the Sharks.
No. Like, look, for Newcastle have to win those games... Yep. And Sheffield and Leicester have to lose all of the games left.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
But have you seen the next game that they have to play against the Giants?
Yeah, but look, Leicester and Sheffield, it's going to be really unlikely that they lose all those three games.
Well, here's...
Sheffield lose to one against Patriots. and Leicester lose to get against Manchester and Surrey.
Yeah. So here's the question, right?
They're not going to lose all three.
When people are saying about, well, you've got teams at the top like London and stuff. Yeah. How much impact does it make? And you go, well, they beat everyone. So I'm not saying it doesn't matter. But let's put it another way. Who are the two most important teams in the league at the moment for this next week?
The most important teams?
Manchester and Plymouth. Why is that? Because Manchester are playing Leicester. Manchester are also playing the Eagles. Plymouth are playing the Sharks. they're some of the most important teams because they can make the difference between people going from fourth to sixth or...
It's going to come down to April 21st, Leicester away to Surrey.
I mean, look.
That will be a great game to be at.
I'm not saying Bristol. If they want to even be up in that mix and maybe pick the crown from Newcastle, Bristol are playing Caledonia. That's a tough game. Newcastle have got Cheshire the first game. Bristol have got Caledonia. Those two, you know. But it's all coming down to people playing... The people in the middle of the league, so to speak, playing those at the very bottom of the league. That's where all of
Surrey
that
have to win those games to stay seventh as well.
Yes,
or to guarantee it, I think.
Yeah, and if they don't, the danger is just looking at this. Surrey are at the moment eighth. Bristol are seventh. Surrey are eighth. And Surrey have only got those two games left. So even if they get them up. I don't think they're still going to win.
It's a big week.
It's a big week. They could actually, thinking about that, Bristol could. What happens in that instance then?
Sorry, and what you've lost me. What would
so
you say?
Bristol and Surrey. Bristol are two wins ahead of Surrey. If Surrey win both games for some reason, they
guarantee
Bristol,
seventh.
Why are they guaranteed it?
On the head-to-heads, I'd imagine. Okay. I don't know.
That's what I was just thinking. I wonder who's got the thing in the head-to-head. Just looking at it, I think we'd have
huge week. This is going to change every day. This is going to be changing, and the scenarios will change.
So,
but Leicester, it's in their hands.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
So, what a week!
What? Yeah,
coming up.
But isn't that cool that it's all coming down to the final week before the playoffs?
Yeah.
I think that's
reminds me of the NBA Western Conference, Mark.
It is. So, you know, shout out to all the teams. I think it was a very surprising week this week. And I'm looking forward to the games that are coming up.
Sorry, what was the date? I'm just trying to... It finishes next on Monday, Tuesday, right?
Yeah, so tomorrow.
No, what's the last fixture? Cheshire, London.
April the 21st. April the 21st.
Holy crap, like Sunday, finishes Sunday.
Yeah, so today we're recording, it's going to be on a Wednesday, it's going out tomorrow, you'll all be listening.
So what is the date of the playoffs, the first playoffs?
Week after.
Oh, so we got a week off. All right, so next week's show is huge, it's got to be about the BBA playoffs.
It has. And while we're on the subject of the BBL, before we wrap that up, I had a little delivery.
Oh yeah? Is this for me?
It is for you.
Oh, wow. What, from the BBL?
No, not from the BBL. You open it up and you'll see what it is.
Yeah.
I know it sounds like Paul's opening a pack of crisps here. Believe me, if he was opening crisps, you'd know it. But I promised that I would get you opening this up on the actual show.
Holy crap!
Yeah. So massive shout out to Keith. Massive shout out to Paul Blake.
Wow.
Huge thank you to the Eagles team.
You got to get a picture of that. Holy crap.
Yeah. They want to do something for you because obviously you had that injury and obviously that affected the gaming and what you're going to be doing.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much.
The Eagles want to do something nice for you.
We got to raise this to the rafters.
Can I just say, I didn't know what it was in it.
What Keith a great organisation.
And
what
Paul
a great
said,
organisation, isn't it?
And I was like, that, yeah, whatever. So I didn't even know what it was.
I said that to Paul. The whole organisation, the community, the family, it is the blueprint for the country, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, wow. So, sorry, we're just talking.
Have
we're
you
just
seen
saying,
the back? Have you seen the back as well?
We're just saying.
Look at that. How cool does that look?
very cool. I've not seen the detail on the actual shirt of this.
So that was what I was going to say. Just when you're really holding cool, this up, it looks so nice.
Yeah.
Give me a touch.
Sorry, our listeners who don't know what we're talking about, we got Newcastle Eagles home jersey.
With the Sirius one.
Is that the home jersey or the away?
The white one's the home, I believe.
Yeah.
And you've got... Hey, look at that.
I guess they wouldn't be able to sign.
I have never seen that before, and I appreciate that.
Once an eagle, always an eagle. Oh, it's on the back of the shirt.
That is so...
That is very cool.
I'm not lying. We may steal something like that for our T-shirts, because that is a great idea. I love that.
That is very cool.
That is so cool. You can get that up and frame that. That'd be amazing.
That's very cool. Look, signed by all the players. That is really cool. Thank you so much.
So if you want, you know, it's literally the home jersey. Like this, all you got to do is get your teeth smashed out by a Lithuanian.
Get four teeth knocked out, and Newcastle will send you a jersey. That's so cool.
And Keith and Paul sorted that all out, and I promised I'd let you open it live.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Paul. That's amazing. That's amazing.
But yeah, so that might sway Paul on his choice of what team he would ever. Because we said at the very beginning, right, of this. This whole journey of you know, getting back and enjoying British basketball on the top tier, we were going to pick teams at some point. And we never really got round to doing it. We were just like, we're going to see how the season plays out. And I think it's fair to say we've got to do a wrap up when the season's over. We'll do a wrap up on that. But there are teams that you just like watching, aren't there? And there's characters on the teams. And it goes beyond it. It's the organization and it's everything that's behind it. And it's sometimes the venues, it can be all, it's all those sort of things, isn't it? That if people don't watch basketball and if people don't go to the stadiums or they don't have connections with people at they don't understand that basketball is like a whole community thing and it's everyone together. It's a great thing to be part of. But yeah, honestly, like I can't, it's very difficult to explain. He's just sat there with his massive grin on his face, just looking at that shirt. It's really nice. I like the staggering behind those lines as well.
Yeah, it's very cool.
That's the feathers, isn't it? For the actual...
Okay.
The bird's feathers, isn't it? For an eagle.
I do like players. So I know you were talking about teams. I've actually warmed to lots of different players throughout the league. So yeah. Oh, that is... I'm really touched by that. I'm really touched by that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That is very, very cool.
He's getting all glassy-eyed. He's getting all glassy-eyed. But there we go. That is a very, very... very, very kind thing for you guys to do. So, but you know, we massively enjoyed our episodes chatting with Paul and Keith as well.
I gotta say, Newcastle's my favourite team now. I don't know for the season after that, getting a jersey.
I don't know. Some of the other teams might say that's bribery, but bring it on. Yeah.
Hey, there might be 9 other packages next week.
Yeah, if you're from any of the other teams.
Actually, that would be so funny. Imagine Plymouth Patriots sending a letter. Paul, you can play as long last as they, game.
Mate, as long as they don't...
We will pay you £0.
As long as they don't send the airmail, because it might. If it has to go on a plane, it might not get there.
Oh, dear. Yeah, wow. That's a great show.
That's the way to end the BBL one, isn't it?
What a great show that was.
Yeah. And listen...
We should end it like that every week, getting a signed jersey.
Listen, you know... If anyone on the teams, anyone in the media teams, anyone who's associated with those, if you want a shout out, we've done it with Portsmouth Force. Portsmouth Force kindly gave us a signed jersey. That was fantastic. Now you've got one from the Eagles.
Yeah.
Adam Riabi's got one of his jerseys he's given us. You know, anyone who wants to have stuff, we'll put it up in the studio.
We've got like a montage. We're going to display
it.
Jerseys,
yeah, we're going to display
it.
And we're getting our five and pie. I'm building something at the moment and it's going to go on the wall. So.
Wow.
Yeah, send us stuff. We love a bit of swag. Always up for that.
Very cool.
But I'd say so ends our BBL weekly.
So ends... Well, we started off with a new jingle, so I don't know if you want to end with that one or not, but...
Why not?
It was this one, Mark.
Yeah, let's end it. Why not?
What was that?
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. If you haven't gone back, then listen. We've got 95 episodes, including this one, out currently at the moment. So go back and check them out. We've got plenty of interviews. We've also got all the big weekly updates. We've got everything from NBA, BBL, and anything basketball in between. I have been Mark.
I have been Paul. And Newcastle Eagles! Come on, get that fourth spot. Come on.